imagine what tens of thousands of pounds of food waste might look like. Now imagine that food waste in a landfill. Thanks to a new large-scale composter on UW Green Bay's campus, a lot of dining hall food waste is not going to a landfill, but will instead become usable compost. Guillermo Gomez is a UW Green Bay senior and president of the Student Government Association there. Guillermo, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I've got a compost bin in my backyard. I put a bucket of food or so, or, you know, food waste or so in it every week. But paint us a picture of this big guy on the UW Green Bay campus.
You know, the most fascinating thing to me about the composter is it kind of just looks like a giant shipping container. And to people not familiar with it, that's what they'll probably assume it is. But it's essentially a giant shipping container anyways. We have a pile of wood chips outside, and we have our hundreds of pounds of food waste indoors. And we have our student workers bring that food waste outside. They put in some wood chips in there. They put in the food waste. And I believe we put about between 300 and 320 pounds of compost in there every single day on average, which equals about 2,100 pounds a week, which is a lot of food.
That is a lot. Yeah. And can you talk about some of the benefits that are coming from this in addition to, you know, just not wasting so much stuff? What do we end up getting out of the bin?
So this is actually really interesting for us because we've been trying to work on more sustainability projects for a long time now. And this composter is a really good thing for that. We're able to work with our environmental organizations on campus, environmental policy and planning majors, classrooms. And, you know, we're able to give them this opportunity to work with a composter, but also we're going to be hiring two sustainability interns or two sustainability workers in the union to help with the composter. So we're bringing jobs to campus. We're helping with some classroom stuff, and we're able to give some people and organizations the chance to have some hands-on experience with it.
As I understand it, this was a student-led and student-funded effort. How did it come to pass?
So we've actually, this has been years and years in the making. Our sustainability fund was created, I think, well over a decade ago, and it was created in order to eventually work on a project as large as this. And so, you know, it's built up tens of thousands of dollars. We've been able to work with the university union on securing the rest of the funding we needed for that, because we essentially had all of the funding for it, but we needed some logistics in place. But yeah, this fund has been funded for years and years and years.
Now, if I'm a student, am I taking my leftover tray after lunch and walking over to the ginormous composter and doing it? Or does it, you know, happen kind of at a remove from my daily experience?
So as long as you're not directly walking out to the composter, normal students will just be able to go into the cafeteria and throw away food waste as they would normally. And then the kitchen staff will be the ones that are sorting the food waste and bringing it out for some of the university union employees to actually take out. So students probably will not have too much hands-on experience with the composter in that regard.
Where is the compost going to end up being used?
So we have a couple plans for it. Eventually, we want to be able to build a garden. We want to be able to use some of that. We want to be able to use some mulch, and we want to make sure that the compost is actually being put to good use. Because before, obviously, we didn't have a composter. And, you know, now we're trying to figure out what are the best ways we can actually use all of this. What are the best ways we can, you know, make everything sustainable? And so, I've been talking to a couple of people in the union about getting a nice big garden that we're able to put some of this to use for.
Well, no, and I know on the UW Green Bay campus, you've got those tunnels. You don't have to go outside quite as much this time of year if you don't want to. Is this giving you something to look forward to, a way to, in the spring, start using this stuff and hopefully get a garden going?
Oh yeah, it's really exciting, honestly. Before getting involved in this project, I really didn't know a whole lot about composting. But you know, it's just a really exciting thing to be able to do.
And this is part of UW Green Bay is being an Eco-U university. Do I have that right?
Yeah. So I'm pretty sure we've been an Eco-U campus for almost 50 years now. And you know, obviously, we've had a really great commitment to environmental action. But there's always something more you can do, you know.
Do you have a next step in our last few moments, a follow-up project?
About the composter, it's kind of up in the air. Obviously, with COVID, there's a lot of things halted. We eventually want to have some sort of grand opening composter ceremony and bring more students into the mix and get more students involved. So that's probably what we'll be doing next.
Guillermo, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Guillermo Gomez is a senior at UW Green Bay, president of the Student Government Association there. We talked to him about the new mega composter on the campus, how it's helping reduce the amount of food waste going to landfills. Now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCollum with a profile about a renowned music producer with Milwaukee roots.
Cheryl Pavelski says she was born hardwired to love music because of her musical family. She found an even deeper connection by collecting records, purchasing her first 45s on a trip to Gimbel's department store in Milwaukee. Pavelski is now a Grammy Award-winning producer who lives in Los Angeles and one of the founders of Omnivore Recordings. Andy Turner recently talked with the industry veteran about her musical journey.
Growing up in Milwaukee, with vinyl records piling up in her room by the time she was a teenager, Cheryl Pavelski has always loved music.
Until, you know, COVID kneecapped everything, there was an excuse to dance and play music and drink beer probably every night of the year in Milwaukee. So, but for me personally, I was obsessed early on with records, the actual physical things and how they were made.
She spent a lot of time in record stores, like the nearby Mean Mountain Music.
You pop open the door to that place and you would hear anything from Louis Jordan to Doris Day. You know, all these guys hanging around, chain smoking, shooting the breeze, looking like they walked off the set of Happy Days. And then I come in rolling up on my bike, you know, looking for like some Jump Blues 45 or something.
She started to first understand music recordings by trading and buying tapes of mostly bootlegged concerts. The tapes would often have studio outtakes by the artist at the end to fill up time.
You have a favorite artist, and all of a sudden, at the end of a tape, a song you know really well comes on, but it's different. You know, it might be missing something. Maybe it has some different lyrics in it. That blew my mind. That was like the mystery of the universe, right? Like, how did that happen? You know?
In 1990, she moved to Los Angeles to be close to one of the centers of the music industry. Sleeping on friends' floors, she started working as a temporary worker at EMI Capitol Records. Pavelski would work her way up to senior director of A&R at Capitol and remain there until 2002 when EMI made massive cuts. She co-founded Omnivore Recordings in 2010 with the desire to set her own timetable for projects and find protection from another corporate reorganization. The releases she has produced or worked on include albums being re-released, previously unissued, compilations and box sets from Big Star, Little Richard, Miles Davis. There's also Wilco, Townes Van Zandt, Aretha Franklin. Spirit, all right. Spirit,
all of these things, whether they're favorite artists of mine or their friends, you know, that's always meaningful. But some of the stuff is just, you know, like working on Stax material. Come on.
In 2014, she won a Grammy Award for producing Hank Williams' The Garden Spot Program, 1950. She recently received another nomination, her fifth, for the 2021 Grammy Awards for It's Such a Good Feeling, the best of Mr. Rogers. The historical significance of preserving the music she helps bring out into the world appeals to Pavelski.
That's the most important thing about my job, you know, is to not let us leave some of this on the dust heap of history in the 20th century and hand it down for next generations so that they know about this music, you know.
As she anticipated the Omnivore release of a deluxe version of Wilco's 1999 album, Summer Teeth, Pavelski is delighted by the idea of giving the band's fans a gateway to the mysteries of music that have always blown her mind.
There are songs I walk around with in my head that nobody's heard since they were recorded, and they're hits up here. And I cannot wait to share those things.
Somewhere, there's a song that needs saving, and you just might find Pavelski not far behind.
Andy Turner brought us that story on Cheryl Pavelski, a Milwaukee native and co-founder of Omnivore Recordings. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Maureen McCollum.